Jesus, I want to die to my will, be born anew in your grace. Thy will be done. For as I am, I cannot please you, and all I want to see is your face. For thy will be done tonight, thy will be
past the chord.
Take me past the hour. Hallelujah. To that holy place, past the praising altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise, hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in your presence, Lord. Take me into the holiest of all. Take me in tonight. Take me into the all the blood of the Lamb. Take us in, Jesus. Take us in, Lord. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. The cold tonight, cleanse my lips. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I take the cold and cleanse my lips tonight. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. We enter into the holiest one. We enter the holy of holy. Whoa, I enter. Oh, through the blood of the Lamb, I enter to worship you only, Lord. I enter to honor I am. Oh, we worship you, Lord, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah. Worship you tonight. Worship you, Lord. I worship. Oh, Lord, accept our worship this night. I worship you. For your name is holy. Oh, that name of Jesus is holy tonight. Holy, holy. So holy, you are holy, holy God. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you. Oh, we want to worship you tonight. Oh, Lord, please come down. You are Alpha, Lord. Oh, we worship you. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. Oh, let's one more time. You, Lord, tonight. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you. For you are worthy tonight. Let's give him the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you Lord, we worship you. Oh Lord, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. This night you are worthy, Lord. We give you glory. We give you. We give you all the glory. This night for worship, Lord. Oh, you are Alpha. You are Alpha, Lord, and Omega. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Oh, Lord, accept our worship this night, Lord. Oh, do something special this night. You are Alpha. are worthy, Lord, to be worshipped, Lord. How excellent is thy name. Hallelujah. How excellent is thy name, oh Lord, how excellent you are, Lord. Excellent is thy name, oh Lord. Oh, how excellent. How excellent is thy name. Oh, how excellent is thy name. How excellent is. How marvelous, Lord. Marvelous is thy name. Oh, Lord, you are marvelous, Lord. Marvelous is thy name. Oh, how marvelous you are. Oh, how marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name.
Is your name,
oh, how wonderful you are tonight, Lord.
How wonderful is thy name,
oh, we declare it tonight, oh,
how wonderful is thy name.
How wonderful is thy name.
How wonderful is thy name. Wonderful is thy name.
Oh, how excellent is his name.
How excellent is thy name.
Oh, how marvelous is his name.
How marvelous is thy name.
Oh.
There's no other name like his name, saints. It's wonderful. The prophet, when he speaks about Isaiah chapter 7, he says, when Isaiah saw the coming of Jesus, he said his name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace. And the prophet says, and then he ran out of things to say, so he just said, wonderful. And that's the truth. His name is wonderful. Saints, we greet you in Jesus' name. It's really good to be here this evening. Let's open Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, read 24 and 25. Really thank you for your prayers for last weekend. It was a very productive time in England. Greetings from the saints that are there, from Brother Alex Ukeni, we're with him on Sunday afternoon, Brother Crosby, Brother Oliver Marange, and all of the saints there that know the saints here by name, they were asking to send greetings. So it was a real fine time. Do appreciate your prayers and the grace of God. Hebrews 7, 24, 25. For this man, speaking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, so he's the same tonight as he's ever been, hath an unchangeable priesthood. So Paul is comparing the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priests, who changed, they would die, to this priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, Christ. And then he says in verse 25, he says, because he changes not, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So it's speaking about that when you are called by Christ, when he has you upon his heart, he's going to save you to the uttermost. And that's the work, that's the whole heart's purpose that he has, is to save you and I to the uttermost. He's not just going to start the work then forget about us. That's not the ministry that he has. But because he has an everlasting priesthood now, he's able. None of the other priests could do that. But he can save us to the uttermost. Doesn't matter what you're going to go through. Doesn't matter the trials you're going to go through. Doesn't matter the disappointments are going to come. Doesn't matter the times you're going to run out of strength. He is able to save us to the uttermost. How? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the power of his intercession. Let's also read Hebrews 4. Paul is speaking about it some more. You know, he takes all these chapters speaking about the supremacy of the priesthood of Christ. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he's an unchanging priest. He's superior, Jesus, than the priesthood of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek never knew what it was to be tempted. But Melchizedek had to become flesh so that he could be tempted like us, go through everything that we go through, so that when now he goes into this great ministry of this everlasting priesthood, when he's given the commission to watch over you and my souls, he knows exactly what it's like to go through the troubles that we go through. That's why he's fully equipped to finish this work, this everlasting priesthood. It says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we're so glad upon this evening, Lord, that you are still our great high priest. That, Lord, you are touched by the feelings of infirmities, that you respond and you move and you work. And, Lord, you minister, you grant grace, Lord. You, Father, minister unto us all the resources that we need that we might make it to the end of this journey. We thank you, Lord, Father, trusting in your faithfulness and your goodness. And, Father, the power of this plan that you have, Lord, that no matter whom, Father, the powers and the principalities that can raise up, Father, we know there's nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we appreciate upon this night the truth of your word. And, Father, we've experienced it so many times that, Father, we know that it's true, that you are our great high priest who is touched by the feelings of infirmity. So bless your word unto your people upon this night. Lead us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just as we're seated, we read our third scripture, just to get a basis. These will be the scriptures we'd use tonight. Mark chapter 5. Let's just read the story once again of the woman with the issue of blood. And our thought tonight is, who touched me? You know, who touched me? You know, we really wanted to look this evening just to show you that Jesus, now, tonight, where you're sitting, will be touched. Amen. If you reach out to him. Amen. He's always touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That's his ministry. That's his commission. And friends, as believers, we've experienced it so many times. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had spent many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. There was a certain type of touch. That's why you find some people are such critics and some people are such absolute 100% believers, because there's a difference in approach. There were people touching Jesus all the time, but this woman came with a certain touch. There was a certain something that led her to bring a certain touch. It was her approach. You know, the others were touching. The prophet says those soldiers that took Jesus and put something over his head and then beat him with rods, they never received anything when they touched him. But there was a difference in her touch. And this is the believer's touch. Amen. The believer's touch. There's something that is always ministered from heaven to the believer's touch. It's always going to be like that. And so she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. The prophet says, there was a little woman who had no vision, but she had a leading. There was something leading her. In that approach she was making, this burden she had, this thought that she had, this desire that she had to come and try to touch the garment of Jesus, it never originated with her. Amen. This was the grace of God. This was those great cherubim that usher us to the mercy seat. that great anointing of grace that comes to minister to the sons and daughters of God, to bring us now to the tree of life. They anoint us and they encourage us and they try to stimulate our faith to bring us to Christ, the tree of life. And she was just following this leadership through. And she's verse 29, and straight away, you see how quick it was, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue. Now I like that. That word virtue is dunamis. That is dynamic power. So this was God's eternal resources through Christ were released by this simple touch. That as soon as she touched and she had a need, she was in the line of duty. She was trying to serve God to the best of her ability. The enemy was standing in the way. She had come to a stage she couldn't go any further in herself. And there was all of the dynamic resources of Jehovah stored up on behalf of his children. And all that it needed was her to come with a certain touch. And the moment she came with that touch, following a certain leading, and she approached in a certain way, the moment she touched that garment, that dunamis, that virtue, the power of God flowed through the garment, and straight away she felt in herself, something's happened. And friends, every time you touch him like that, you feel in yourself, something's happened. You'll never be the same. You'll know you've touched something because there's the power of God, which comes in diverse ways, but his power will be released to you just as much as his power is released to her. And he ever lives this evening. He's our great high priest. Then he was clothed in flesh that could get tired, that could get worn. Yeah. Now he has an everlasting priesthood. No, he's now clothed in immortality. Yet he's the same high priest with the same feelings because he was clothed in flesh himself. And he knows what it's like to be sick. He knows what it's like to be disappointed. He knows what it's like when it seems the promises of God are far off and don't seem to be coming on time. He knows how to sympathize with us. And that's why now when we approach him in that kind of a way, we just touch him. There's certain resources, the resources that we need to make it through what we're going through. That's our possession every time we approach him this way. He'll minister his divine resources to us. So, and immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Go in shalom. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, friends, this issue of the priesthood of Christ, I always wonder, I don't mean to step on anybody's toes who maybe believe something different, but I always wonder why people are always trying to get Christ off the mercy seat.
Amen.
I don't understand that. Why are we trying to quickly pull him off the mercy seat? Friends, the greatest benefit, the greatest blessing is Christ on the mercy seat. You know, I don't understand why it's such a big issue that all of us have to try to get him off the mercy seat. I would say we should be trying to say, "Lord, leave him there as long as possible." Because this is a great resource that we need, is Christ on the mercy seat. Now we know that we're in a transition as we live now between grace and judgment, between mercy and judgment. So we're going through a transition. But you know, this one of Christ as our great high priest, that's a powerful thing, friends. And that's why Paul takes pages and pages in the book of Hebrews to speak unto us about the benefits that we have under this priesthood. Amen. You know, and now to try to take us out from these pages that we can't even apply these pages to ourselves. You know, it would be a sad thing. You know, I don't really understand that fully, because if Christ has been given a commission, you know, he started off as Son of Man. When he was Son of Man, he was the prophet. He came to earth so that he could feel and he could touch and that he could feel our infirmities, that he could live amongst us, so that he could suffer, so that he could be fully equipped by the things that he went through. He was made perfect by the things that he suffered, the Bible says. So Christ, in his Son of Man ministry as the prophet when he came as a man. He received now the spiritual qualifications that he needed for his future ministry. Now his future ministry was twofold. As soon as he died, was resurrected, rose again. And then we came to Revelation chapter 1. We find the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the prophet says this is the revelation of his future work in the seven church ages. And this was his work as priest now, first of all. So Christ, he moves out from being Son of Man and he goes into the Son of God. Amen. He goes into the priesthood now. Now he's been equipped by the days of his flesh for this ministration now. Amen. And the purpose of this future work, which is entrusted to him now, he's got to make sure that every one of the sons and daughters of God make it safely through to the end. So he's got to stay there, the prophet says, until that last name that is in the book is under the blood. Because that's his ministry. And he knows that last one, he knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it is to be tempted in all ways like unto us. The threefold temptation of Christ. We know how he was tempted and the things that he went through, the disappointments and the sorrow and the hunger, you know, having no place to lay his head. No, there were so many things that he went through. So the prophet says, you will find anything which you go through, you're going to find that he went through it before us. You know, so he was fully equipped by that. And then as he comes to the end of his ministry as Son of God, as the priest, he then's going to move into the Son of David, the king. But once again, it was the days of his flesh that have equipped him now to be seated on the throne. He's fully qualified because it's to the overcomer. He had to overcome just as much as we have to overcome. We cannot sit with him in his throne if we don't overcome. Because he says to him that overcomes, they shall be granted to sit with me even as I overcame and am seated with my Father in his throne. So now each of these parts of his ministry, each has a specific purpose. He has to come to die for us as Son of Man. He has to be clothed in flesh and blood so that he can bleed. The Word became flesh, the prophet says. He was the bleeding Word. He had to come and shed his life. He had to step out of eternity into time and step out of eternal life into eternal death to taste death for us. And then the power of the resurrection raised him up once again. And then he moved into this great ministry as our great high priest. And he's given this commission now that for each and every one of us, we become his responsibility. Just as much as he died for us, just as much as he purchased our redemption at the cross, his work wasn't yet finished. And the unfinished work of Christ is his intercession, is his work as priest. And until the last one comes in, that work isn't complete. Because as long as there's an accuser in heavenly places before the throne of God, who accuses us day and night, we've got to have an advocate. We've got to have an intercessor. The prophet said it's like a great courtroom in heaven. That on one side there's Satan and his accusing. Now we've got to have our advocate. You've got to have somebody who makes intercession on our behalf. So right to the end, until the last one comes in whichever form it is, maybe he's moved from one place to another. We don't know what's happened exactly with the opening of the seals, whatever it is. But we've got to have access as his bride to this ministration of grace. This great ministration of the priesthood. And this priesthood is for a purpose. It wasn't enough for him just to offer himself for us and then die for us so that to be forgiven of our sin. The devil would have overcome us. He would have deceived us. There'll be times you're disappointed, times you don't feel like you want to go on anymore. There's times that you and my prayers in themselves since we are never going to be enough. And at that time, we need his prayer. At that time, we need the power of his intercession. At that time, we need his incense coming up before the Shekinah presence of the Most High to bring forth the blessings of the divine resource through his priesthood, and he ministers them into our experience when we need them. And that's why you will see, friends, as when you get to the end of this journey, you'll understand why in the book of Revelation, when Christ comes forth, those elders representing the bride, in a sense, the redeemed, the prophet says, they take off their crowns and they throw them at his feet. Because once a great unveiling comes at the end of this age and you see your life and it's all unveiled, the supernatural that's been taking place in your life to bring you to where you are, you're going to see that it wasn't your strength, that wasn't your ability, that wasn't your power that saw you through, but it was the power of his intercession. It was the power of his blood, then the power of his priesthood, because he prevails before the throne for us. And when we know not how to pray, he knows how to pray. And he'll quicken us now with that quickening power to pray according to the will of God. But you're going to see it at the end, friends, that he is the only one that's worthy. He is the only one that deserves anything. Those elders, you know, even like that, the Moses, remember the prophet speaks of Moses, who was a minister, and then he died and went beyond the curtain, and then they woke him up and he came back again, and they said, Moses, what was happening? And he said, why did you call me back? He says, I was just getting to the place that there was Jesus. It was the time they were giving out robes and crowns. And they came to me and said, Moses, come and get your crown, come and get your robe. And he says, don't talk to me about a robe and a crown. Let me just stand here 1,000 years and look on him. And friends, that's what it's going to be beyond the curtain of time. When the prophet went beyond the curtain of time and they lifted him up and they put him on a high place. And he said, what are you doing? And they said, you were born a leader. And they said, you know, if you hadn't have gone, we wouldn't be here. In that realm, what did the prophet say? Where's Jesus? I want to see him so bad. No, because he realized where the resources come from, friends. He realizes where the divine favor, the grace, the forgiveness, the dunamis, you know, the prevailing power comes from. It's not so much from you and I, friends. Amen. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by our good intentions. It's by a certain approach that we make to him. That we approach him in time of need and he gives us the resources that we need. Same as Peter, when Peter didn't even realize the peril that he was in. That Satan had desired him to sift him as wheat. And Peter was trusting in his own ability. Although all men deny you, I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, Simon, Simon. He didn't call him Peter, the rock. Because now the man was leaning back to Simon, Simon, his old nature again. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. Oh, friends, that makes all the difference. If he prays for you, it doesn't matter what the devil does. If he makes intercession for you, it doesn't matter all the accusation of the enemy. It doesn't matter what he does before the throne of the devil. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that can come between God and his children. Because God has such a perfect plan and such a perfect provision made. Not only in his death, but in his priesthood. That we can approach him in this great priesthood even tonight. So he made one offering of himself, the Bible says, but now he makes continual intercession. Now he's a continual high priest making this great intercession for us. And it's a powerful ministry, friends. He's continually at work in this day and night. You know, it's like in this great eternal realm, however it works, Christ, him before the great eternal, somehow in his priesthood, he can pray for you like you were the only person on earth. Yet at the same time, he can have the burden of all his people upon him. That's what he is. That's this Melchizedek priesthood. It's not like you and I that we can run out of strength when we're praying. We can forget about certain things when we're praying. No, we run out of time when we're praying. In this great eternal priesthood that is great, not eternal, this great everlasting priesthood, this great spiritual something taking place today as we speak, he can pray for all of us. With the same attention, the same care, as if he was praying just for one of us, one at a time. That's a powerful thing to think about. And the proof of it was in the prophet's ministry, when the great pillar of fire would come down, and people all over would be able to touch him. People all over would spiritually be able to touch him. The prophet wouldn't even have enough time sometimes to call all the different things that were taking place when people were touching the great high priest and this dunamis power was coming through the pillar of fire, ministering to the needs of the people. And it just proved that he knows your name. He knows your thoughts. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You might think he doesn't think about me. He thinks about, that's his ministry. He cares for you. He watches over you. Day and night. He doesn't need to sleep. Amen. Because he's not a mortal anymore. He doesn't need to rest. This is his ministry. This is what he's been perfected to do. This is his delight. This is the ministration that he's engaged in on behalf of the sons and daughters of God. Now there was a man who said it. I can't remember his name. It was from hundreds of years ago. He said, If I could hear Jesus in the next room praying for me, I wouldn't fear a million enemies. He says, and how much more now? He says, Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is making intercession for us. If you knew Jesus had prayed for you, if you heard him tonight praying and saying, Father, I'm praying for James. I'm praying that you're going to help him at home. I'm praying you're going to help him in the issue. You would know that I'm going to overcome here. Because his prayers are never refused. He's never prayed a prayer in his priesthood that's been rejected. So you would know, as long as he's praying for you, there's going to come some results. Something's going to come from the heavenly realm to minister to you because of the power of his intercession. Because he's a greater than Jacob. He prevails with God and overcomes. He knows how to pray. He knows how to bring perfect petition. He's the great high priest who would take the incense and go to the golden altar before the very throne of God. And offer that incense, it would come up before the throne, you know, before the mercy seat as a sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. Now that speaks of the intercession of Christ. He's not only the sacrifice, he's also the high priest. You know, he's not only the priest, but he's the offering that the priest makes. His prayer is the incense. I mean, he's all in all. That's what he is. And that's why this work of redemption is a powerful one. And especially when sin comes into the life of a person. If you are son and daughter of God, friends, the moment you get into sin, the moment you get into transgression, something happens in heaven. There's a certain intercession takes place. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Father, help him. Father, he doesn't know what he's doing. Father, she doesn't know. And something changes in heavenly places. And the resources of heaven are like quickly made available to you. God sends the convicting power to come to you. So everything that's required for you to overcome if you're in sin, in heaven is there waiting for you. All that's waiting for is the right attitude in you. The right approach of acknowledging your iniquity, of confessing your sin. And of coming humbly and saying, Father, I have sinned against you. And then you'll find he's just so prepared, like the father of the prodigal son, to run and to meet you in your condition. Because that's the ministry of Christ. His ministry is to make sure you get to the end. So when you get in sin or you get knocked down by the enemy, it's like in Eden, we spoke about it the other week. As soon as sin came into Eden, there was an emergency in heaven. Jehovah got off the throne. He didn't send the angels. He came down himself into Eden. And he went and he sought his son and daughter himself. Adam, Adam, where art thou? And he made sure he ministered the atonement to them and clothed them in the atonement of the bloody skins. Friends, he's the same. And when you fall in your sin or you fall in your transgression and you feel you can't get up anymore, there's a power of his intercession. And something takes place and he ministers to you once again. And something rises up inside of your heart that wasn't there before. And something rises up and you get some hope and you get a little bit of strength to seek his face. And sometimes you will think it was your own goodness or your own ability that did that. It wasn't that. It was the power of his work. It was the power of his intercession. It was the power of his redemptive work that he's done in us. Like when the prophet was about to give up, when his wife and his child, when Sharon Rose died, was dying right there. And then Satan came right at him and the prophet saw Satan in a visible form. And he says, and he told me all those things. And he said, everything that he said was the truth. He says, and I was about to say, if that's how he is, I won't serve him. He says, and then something came from deep within, from the inside of the inside, from beyond the veil. It wasn't the power of the prophet, friends. It wasn't his human nature. It wasn't his human understanding. It wasn't his human willpower. He had already got to that stage that he says it was something on the inside of the inside. He says, that's what God had put there. And he said, if that wasn't there, he said, saints, we wouldn't know each other today. But that's the power that God has in the lives of his children. That Satan will get you right to the point like Job, that he thinks, I've got him now. And something will just kick in from somewhere. A certain virtue, a certain power, a certain inspiration will strike you. And you don't even know why you say it. You say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, that's what it's like as a believer. Look in your experience. Has not that been your experience? How many times did you think you're going to give up? How many times did the enemy think, I've got him now, I've got her now? How many times? Multitudes of times. But every single time there's a certain dunamis. There's a certain divine energy. There's a certain power that is released into the life of the sons and daughters of God that just quickens you at that time. That just does something to you at that time. That's the power of his intercession. Because when he prays, something takes place. And when he sees his sons and daughters in need of prayer, he makes intercession as our great high priest. And when he makes intercession, the dunamis power is released on our behalf. We receive grace to help in time of need, Paul says. There's something comes and ministers to us in that situation. Friends, it's a glorious thing to be a believer. It's glorious to trust in him. It's a wonderful thing. I don't understand how a person could ever want to live in this life without being a Christian. Not just a denominational sort of type of Christian. I'm speaking about a Christian who lives with Christ. That Christ is real in your life and your experience. And that when you don't have the strength, he gives you the strength. When you know, don't want to give up, go on anymore, he comes and he strengthens you once again. When you fall down, he lifts you up. When you can't go on like Elijah, he sends the angel with the softest hands and he gives you the angel food and he gives you strength once again in the journey. Friends, that is the testimony of a believer. And because he has an everlasting priesthood, that is his role that he must play, the ministration that he must minister right to the end. It's never going to stop in your life until that rapture day when that final dunamis strikes your body and changes you. Christ is going to continue watching over you. He's going to continue to watch over your soul because he's the shepherd of your soul. He's been commissioned to see you safely through to the haven of rest. And friends, that's how we need to give him praise. That's how we need to worship him. You know, I was listening when Brother Perry Green passed away yesterday. I went and I was listening to his testimony last night with Katana at home at Brother Donnie Reagan's church in 2002. And he said something really good in that testimony. He says, praise him. He says, not only when you have the emotion that you feel you want to praise him, but praise him even when you don't feel you got the emotion to praise him. Because he's just as worthy to be praised when you don't feel like it as he is to be praised when you do feel like it. That's why praise, it mustn't be governed by our emotion. He's worthy of praise. The prophet says, if you consider in the light of fact what Christ is and what he's done for you, friends, it'll change your life. If you just take scriptural truth and you go and look and see what God has done for you, friends, but there's an enemy and he wants to speak as well and he wants to accuse and he wants to discourage. That's why God has a super weapon called the intercession of Christ. And when all else fails, that intercession kicks in. And all of a sudden you find there's a boost in your experience. Friends, I love those kind of things. When his strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's what it is. When his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because then his power is made available to us. But when you think you can do it, he leaves you to do it. But the moment you get to the end of yourself and you say, Father, I can't do it. Father, I need you to help me. You will just find that divine resource has been stored up just waiting for you to approach him in that way. And watch how that resource is poured out on behalf of the needs of his sons and his daughters. Because God will always respond to our needs. So he never ceases to intercede for us. This is his great, great ministry that he has for us. And friends, he can be touched today just so easily. Just so simply he can be touched. It's so wonderful in your experience how you can just touch him. And whenever you touch him, something happens. Something takes place. You know, he just so much is waiting for us to approach him the right way. The prophet speaking about this woman with the issue of blood. And so as we would see Jesus, I quoted it, said there was a little woman who had no vision, but she had a leading. And she went down to where Jesus was at the seashore. She had a blood issue. And she touched his garment. And she said in her heart, if I can only touch his garment, I'll be whole. And Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And Peter rebuked him and said, why do you say who touched me? But he said, I've gotten weak. The word virtue means strength. Virtue went from me. My strength went from me. Somebody touched me. The prophet says that was the Son of God. And you will say, oh, Brother Branham, I wish I would have lived in that day. I'd like to have touched him. The prophet says, This is that day. Friends, it's far more powerful now because we can all touch him at the same time. If he was here in flesh and the crowds were about him, sometimes the people couldn't get to him to touch him in that way. Sometimes they had to break through Peter's roof and put the man down on a bed through the roof. But now, friends, it doesn't matter how many of his sons and daughters have need at the same specific moment because of this great order of Melchizedek priesthood. Friends, he can be touched by all of us at the same time. And each need is specific, and he knows just how to minister to each and every situation that we're in. The prophet says, this is that day. You will say, is that scriptural, Brother Branham? Absolutely. The Bible says he is a high priest that can be touched by the feelings or infirmities. Friends, there's enough in that simple statement to change any situation. That he is a faithful high priest who can be touched by the feelings or infirmities. He is. Doesn't matter how far down you've gone. Doesn't matter how desperate your situation looks. He is a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He says, how would you ever know you touched him? He says, if there wasn't something that came back and told you, when she touched him, something told her. She knew, I've been healed. Something's taken place. And friends, that's the wonderful thing. You just touch him, something comes back every time. You approach him the right way. See what happens to you. Maybe he doesn't now minister to you through that mortal body, but he's still got his body now. And the dunamis power, the divine energy of God is at work in his body. And friends, if you just approach him the right way, somehow through his body, the virtue is going to flow once again. Somehow. How many times have you had it? You'll be at home. You don't even know what to do. You're like a baby without milk. You're restless. You don't even know what message to listen to. You just get on your knees and you pray such a weak prayer because you don't have any strength. And say, Lord, I just need you to help me. And then you put on a message. And here comes the dunamis. Here comes the virtue once again. And you sometimes wonder to yourself, but how did I choose that message? How did I choose that message? Because that is exactly what I needed. That is exactly the ministration that I needed to my experience. And friends, as a believer, that's a regular occurrence. You will have it as well. You get to the stage you can't take it anymore. Watch, maybe Brother Tommy comes to preach last weekend. Just get an inspiration. We'll just preach exactly. The dunamis power will come through the body and minister to your need. Just as much as the dunamis power went through his body, the divine resources were channeled through the body of Christ and ministered virtue at a time when she needed that virtue. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are in the body for. That's why God puts his divine energy inside of his sons and daughters. And sometimes it seems to lay dormant there for a season, but let one of his sons and his daughters, maybe somebody who's out in sin, who's predestinated unto life, let them come in contact with that dunamis in you, and you'll wonder where it came from. You wonder, where did that come from? How did I manage to say those kind of things? Where did that, I was thinking this morning of giving up. Until I sat on the bus next to this person. And this person asked me a question, and something just opened up and it started to flow once again through my experience. Friends, because his dunamis, his virtue is in his body. He ministers his divine resources through his body. Ah, friends, it's a privilege that we've got to be in this bride, friends. Because God has diverse ways of ministering this virtue that we need in the time of need. And that's one of the greatest things that you can do is be faithful in the line of duty. Because he'll minister to you every time in the line of duty. Every time in the line of duty when the enemy gets in the way and you can't find any way around it, just wait for the ministration of dunamis. Because of the power of his intercession. Then the divine resources will work through the body and come and minister to your experience. Will minister to your situation. That's how the prophet said, how would you know if you touched him? If something didn't come back from heavenly places. She knew in herself that she'd been healed. He says, you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence that something's happened of things not seen. So faith is the evidence that something's happened in the realm that you can't see. Because you've approached him, you've called upon his name. And because he's the great high priest who's always moved by our approach, when you approach him the right way, he's going to do something. It may not yet be the answer, but you know inside of yourself, you've got an evidence. Maybe you just had a hope, but now it becomes an evidence. It becomes a faith. The prophet says an evidence. It's not just a make-believe. You say, oh, hallelujah, I've got it. He says, then that's been too much in you Pentecostal people to begin with. You're rejoicing about something you don't have. We've seen that, friends. People jumping everywhere and all those kinds, they're not really having anything. Is it not better, friends, when God does something real? And then you jump when he's done something real. That's a precious thing, friends. He says, faith is absolutely a substance. It's not a hope. He says, when faith takes hope, it becomes the substance that you are hoping for. I like that. At first, you'll have hope. So I hope I'm going to get better. You'll be reading the Bible, say, I hope the Lord's going to do something for you. He goes on to say, hope, if you keep holding on to that hope, it'll lead you to faith. That hope will become faith. And then you will know. Then it's not a hope anymore. Now it's, I know. I know the situation's going to take place. I know this is going to change. He says, faith is not a hope. But when faith takes it, it becomes a substance. One of our managers, Dr. Vail, and I was arguing for about an hour and a half the other day. He tried to say hope and faith is the same thing. I don't understand someone arguing with the prophet 1.5 hours about faith. When I read that quote, I said, hey. Friends, this man who was so qualified to know about faith, what is faith? You want to argue and say hope and faith are the same thing. He says, I said no. Hope is what you're looking for. And faith is what you get by hoping. That's right. It's not a hope any longer when you've got it. It becomes yours. It's in your possession. You can go just as happy as you can be, for it's the substance of things hoped for. So you hoped for it, now it became a substance. Ah, friends. And all the resources of heaven want to give you that substance. That all you got to do is just approach him the right way. All you got to do is just approach him now, the right way, and something will respond from heaven, and you'll know something's moved up there. Something's already started to move in heavenly places on your behalf, and you'll get a substance. It may take 2 years for the answer to come, for the reality to come, but you've already got the substance. You already know it's going to take place. You're not worrying about it anymore because it's not a hope. It's a faith. It's a substance. He says, this little woman said within her heart, if I can touch him, it'll satisfy me. Amen. He says, I wish we could have that faith in Newark tonight. If I can touch him. He says, can you do it? He says, yes. He's a high priest, ever living to make intercession. Touch him and find out whether it's right or not. Amen. That's a challenge, friends. He said, touch him now and find out if it's right. And I challenge every person, even an unbeliever's here. Approach him the right way. Say, Jesus, I've heard of you. I heard that you went to the cross. It puzzles me. I don't understand really what it means. But Jesus, I'm coming to you. If this is real, if you are real, if you are a high priest tonight, I'm bringing my soul up unto you. Let something take place. And if you approach it the right way, I guarantee you, it's more sure that something will happen than the sun will come up tomorrow. Because he said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It'll definitely happen. Don't govern what it should be, but you'll know. And he'll make it real. As long as you're approaching him the right way, something's got to take place. He says, touch him and find out whether it's right or not. You see? See if the word is right. We've got to move beyond hope. I love that. And in those meetings, you listen to any prayer line, there's people that were touching him. There's people that were touching him. And the pillar of fire would move over a certain person because someone had touched him. Someone had touched the great high priest. Hallelujah. And now the dunamis power of God, in the presence of the pillar of fire, the resources of heaven came down over that person to minister to the need that they had. If it was psychological, whatever. If it was financial, if it was spiritual, if it was physical. Whatever the need was, there was a resource to minister to that need. And friends, how many times did we see it? That's why this dunamis, this virtue. When Jesus said, virtue, strength has gone out of me. I'll tell you the meaning of this word. dunamis means achieving power. It's power that achieves something. So when God releases his virtue, his dunamis, it's sent to achieve something. It'll always achieve something. Its power, dunamis, comes from the word to be able or to have power. It's the power or ability to carry out some function. That's why Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive dunamis, power from on high. Then you shall be my witnesses. Because then you've got power that can achieve something. Then if he's called you to do something, there's a power that's going to allow you to achieve what you're called for. That's why dunamis is power for service. It's divine energy. It's the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. Virtue. It's divine virtue. This word dunamis denotes the ability requisite for meeting difficulties. It's the power that you need to overcome trial. It's the power that you need to overcome difficulties, to meet difficulties and overcome them. You can never do it in your own strength. We all try that, and then in the end we get tired, and then we go to the Lord, and then he says, okay, my strength's made perfect in your weakness. Let me do it for you. Then you find out that his strength is all that you need. His strength. It also means, dunamis is the ability for the fulfillment of the service committed to us. So whatever service has been committed to you, whatever God has called you to do, it's divine energy. It's God's energy that equips you to do what he's called you to do. And that's why there's various gifts in the body. Some are given to intercessory prayer, but you can't do it yourself. He's got to give you the divine energy. That's why someone can pray for hours and hours and hours in prayer, and another person can't do it. Because to one, they've been given that. What about the gift of faith? Somebody can believe for things that you and I cannot believe for. It'll just stumble us to think. We know that it can be done. But we don't have that personal faith to that level for that challenge that's there. That's why God puts gifts of faith. Somebody that has a gift, that when they're facing up to a situation, it's not just their faith. There's a dunamis that comes. There's a divine energy that comes into that gift that's inside of that person. And they can believe for anything. That's why there's gifts of healing. There's a dunamis that gets into a gift in a person. And God uses that. It can just flow through that person in a way that it doesn't go just through a normal person. And great things can take place. Then there's gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of prophecy. There's all the other types of gifts as well. But each and every one of them needs dunamis. Amen. It needs divine energy to get into the gift, to get into the call, to get into the ministration, whatever it is, so that God can minister to his body. And that's why we need each other, friends. That's why there's diversities of gifts in the body. That's why there's apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. There's different ways this dunamis will express itself. Because one man with his gift, when he gets dunamis, it's going to operate in a certain way. Another man with dunamis, it's going to operate in another way. And friends, when everybody finds their calling and is operating under that realm, what a wonderful and powerful thing. And then you're getting back to the book of Acts. Before the Antichrist spirit started coming in, when they're in one accord in one place and dunamis was working. In the brothers and the sisters, in prayer and all the different things that were taking place. And this dunamis is released, why? Because of the intercession of Christ. Because he prevails before the throne. And when you in need, just as much as the virtue came through him into this woman, so the virtue comes from him into the body. And then it's distributed into the needs of the saints. It's the grace of God to us, friends. Dunamis, Paul speaks of it as divine energy. It's effective, productive energy. Friends, we've all tried to do it in our own strength before. We've all tried to minister in our own strength. We've all tried to pray in our own strength. It doesn't work. You get quickly tired. But when you're relying on him, when you're leaning upon the everlasting arm, the outward man can get tired, but there'll be a divine energy in the soul. There's a prevailing power in the life of a believer when they're walking with God in this age. It's power. They say it's great power. It's exceeding great power. Beyond the furthest thought you can have, it's the power which God used in our redemption. Amen. It's dunamis that saved you. And it's dunamis that keeps you saved. It's Christ and his death who saved you. It's the power of his intercession. And this release of virtue into your situation, whenever you feel you can't do anymore, whenever temptation comes your way and there's a virtue that comes for you to overcome, the same power that saved you, the prophet says, is the same power that justifies you, the same one that sanctifies you. It's the same power that will change your body at the end. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And friends, that's the divine resource that Christ makes intercession for on behalf of his people. Because that's what we need. Let's read a couple more quotes. We'll just come to a time of prayer. Dunamis working through the body. What about Mary and Martha? They had a great need. They had a great need. They had a brother who was laying in a tomb 4 days. And he was the breadwinner. And they had forsaken everything to follow Jesus. And it was such a disappointment. We know the story of the prophet says they were sitting there with their black sackcloth on. He says it was dark. It was a dark hour. Because Jesus didn't come when they expected him to come. And now Lazarus was laying in the tomb. In the message, and then Jesus came, the prophet says, that's where people fail to have faith. They don't read the Bible. It says Martha had read with the Shunammite woman in the days of Elijah when her baby died. Everything was well as long as she could get to the prophet. So that's Shekinah bread now. That's when the dunamis gets into the word and becomes Shekinah bread. When you can find something in the word that speaks of your situation. And you can see the way somebody approached God and what God did in that situation. And there's a quickening power. And you approach God the same way and the same result takes place. Every single time. Because God is no respecter of persons. That's why the prophet says, that's why we fail to have faith. We don't read the Bible. We don't fellowship with the word closely enough until it becomes the Shekinah bread to us. The hidden manna. That you find yourself in that story. And just as much as something was declaring itself to that woman saying, if you just touch his garment, you'll be whole. There was something spiritual happening to her. Something was giving her a leading. When you start getting in the word and pray about your situation, there comes a supernatural something, a leading. And it leads you to a certain place in the word. And it raises up an expectation inside of you. And all of a sudden, you start to feel inside of yourself that something's changing in my situation. I've been feeling hopeless all this time, these months gone by. But something's taken place. That's where faith comes from. It says, Martha read. It says, and the Shunammite stayed with that prophet until she got her heart's desire. Because the Shunammite woman recognized that God was in that prophet. So now Martha was, when she was in the deepest of her despair, grace came her way. And she started to meditate upon the word. And she started to think, you know, my situation's like the Shunammite woman. And if God was in his prophet, Elijah, and all she had to do was get to that man in whom that dunamis was dwelling, how about God being in his son? If I can just get to his son, a greater than Elijah is here. That's what she was thinking. That's what God was quickening inside of her soul. He says, and the prophet tried to give her a stick to lay on. Yeah. He had a staff in his hand and he told Gehazi, go and lay it on the child. But the woman's faith wasn't in the stick, it was in the prophet. She knew the source. She said, I don't want a stick, I want you. Because God works through you. And then Martha saw the same thing. And she said, if God is in his prophet, surely he's in his son. Elijah was God's representative in the days of the Shunammite. Amen. Jesus was God's representative in the days of Martha. Let's not stop there. And his church is his representative in this day. Amen. That's whatever you need, friends, it's available to you. If you move him, he'll move someone or something that is gifted. He'll operate in some way to minister to your need. Even if he has to bring somebody from the other side of the world. He knows how to do it, friends. The virtue will work through his body. That's why, friends, it's so important to be part of the body. To recognize you. No body is going to be perfect. Don't get me wrong, because you all are vessels of clay as well. We've got our personalities, our temperaments. We can step on each other's toes once in a while. But you've got to look beyond the veil. is you're not looking at the outward appearance of somebody. You're looking at the dunamis. You're looking at what God has put inside of somebody. Like if you know somebody's got a gift of healing, that person may have shouted at his wife in the morning. That doesn't affect the gift of healing. Because the gift that's in the person isn't dependent on the person. It's dependent on your faith.
Amen.
And you can pull the dunamis through that gift by your need. By you approaching the body a certain way. The way that the Shunammite approached Elijah. The way that Martha approached Jesus. Now we approach Christ in His people, in His body. And He ministers His diverse resources to us by His grace. How many times has He done it, friends? Think in your life. Think in your own experience. Every time you came to church and something was ministered to you that quickened you. Every time that you got healed, you know what it was? You touched Him. You touched Him, and that was the result of you touching Him. So imagine how many times you've touched Him without really realizing what you were doing. Multitudes of times. When I look back in my life, there's been so many times you think, I don't have the strength. Sometimes you can just be so tired and weary. Last Sunday when we went for service at Brother Crosby, we had such a busy day on Saturday. I went tired there. We went from 8 in the morning up to 11 at night with the saints at Leeds. It was an intense time because the saints were just coming out of real bondage of the devil that he had tricked them. It was a real powerful time. We didn't get much sleep. I had to get up early in the morning, travel 3 hours to pick some people and go to Brother Crosby. By the time we got there, I was with Brother Kazarang in the car. I said to him, hey, bro, I'm not talking to you. I said, I'm not well today. I had such a headache. I just felt so bad. I couldn't. For 3 hours, I just sat in the car. But I know what it's like. He's the high priest. He's always touched by the feelings of my infirmity. The moment I stood in the pulpit, I was perfectly well. It's the dunamis. Every time, friends, and you will have it in your experience, you know it. You get to a certain state, especially in the line of duty. He'll meet you every time. And that's what gives you faith. Because it's happened time and time and time and time again. And you know He's never going to let me down. Because He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age.
Amen.
And then you come to the end of the service and you start saying, but where's that sickness gone? And I said it to Brother Kazarin afterwards. I said, brother, I didn't speak to you in the morning because I was so sick. He said, brother, I could see that. I said, but it's such a powerful thing. I said, I don't know how many times this has happened to me in my experience. That God meets you at the point of need. Every time. And you know what it was? It wasn't your strength or your ability. You touched Him. You touched Him and the virtue comes flowing once again. Because dunamis is power to do what God has called you to do. And He'll never let... Now, if you want to go and play your own games, I'm not guaranteeing that dunamis is going to set you free. Because when Samson played with his Nazarite vow, the dunamis didn't come anymore. But when he was facing up to the Philistines before, when the lion roared against him, when he was in the line of duty, the dunamis came every time. Because it was, he was being faithful to his commission and his call, and he had a respect unto his vow. But the moment he played around with it too much, heaven was silent. And friends, you don't want to be in that kind of a condition. You wouldn't want to be there. Let's just finish off. The prophet says, his church is his representative in this day. His church, the body of believers, is his representative. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. It says, oh, the power of the Christian church that lays dormant tonight because of unbelief. You know what kind of unbelief it is? Because the devil will tell you, you can't do it. The devil will tell you, but you did this yesterday and you said that yesterday. That's the accuser doing his job. The best thing, don't listen to him. Go and listen to the high priest. Don't fellowship with the accuser. Fellowship with the advocate. Give an opportunity for him to start speaking to you. And then you'll find out what God starts thinking about you. And you'll touch him and something will take place. Touching him in the hour of need. The prophet says, as they went on, she said, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, Lord, what you ask God, God will give it to you. She recognized who he was. He's the great high priest. She knew that when he prays, something takes place. When he prays, the Father never ever refuses his prayer. So she knew, if I can just get to him and tell him my need, he's going to make intercession and the dunamis is going to come down. And my situation is going to change. And it was a hopeless situation, friends. It was a worse situation than any of us have here tonight. All of us with all of our problems combined tonight cannot compare with Martha's situation that day. He was dead. He was rotten in the grave. All hope was buried and gone. But she approached the great high priest. The prophet says, she said, even now, Lord, whatever you ask God. Then the prophet straight away kicks in. Is he alive? Could you speak to him? He ever liveth to make intercession at the right hand of God. He never is asleep. He's not dead, but he's risen again. And he's the same in principle. He's the same in power. He's the same in action, moving yesterday, today, and forever. And friends, if you just put that into effect tonight, something will take place. Something will start to move. Your situation will start to change. Because that's his whole ministry. That's the purpose that he came as a man. That's the purpose that he's making intercession on the right hand of the majesty on high, is to minister to your needs. To make sure that there's nothing that comes your way which is going to hinder you from getting to the end of the journey. And whatever comes, he's going to deal with it. The prophet says, it's your approach to a divine gift which brings the results. She had a right to upbraid him, to say, why didn't you come? But it's the way that you come to it. Isn't that right? She came in the right kind of an approach. She came and she fell down on her knees. Friends, look how she approached. She fell on her knees before him. And she said, Lord. The prophet says, she didn't disregard his title. She said, Lord. Despite her disappointment, despite all the confusion, what was going on in her life, she approached him the right way. She got on her knees and she said, Lord. Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. The prophet said, oh my, that touched him. Amen. There's something about the touch. You can't touch him and something doesn't come back in return. She knew if she could get right into his heart, she would get what she wanted. Friends, that needs a certain approach, a certain motive and a certain objective. The prophet says, that's when two positives met. That's when two omnipotents meet. See, she had perfect omnipotent faith in Christ. And Christ was omnipotent. And she knew whatever he asked God, God would give it to him. Then he comes at the end to the prayer line. And he says, I'm standing here with a woman. He has Anglo-Saxon and Anglo-Saxon. He's just spoken about Jesus and the Samaritan. Now he says, now it's Gentiles. He says, we're strangers to one another. I do not know you, but God knows you. If God will reveal, he says, now, just a moment. Something in the audience. Somebody struck faith. The woman sitting right there with her head bowed, praying with a little green hat on. Sitting in front of me, an elder little woman sitting there praying with arthritis. All right, sister, raise up your hand. You looked around. Look that way. All right. Your arthritis has left you. You don't have to come. Stay right where you are. Go on home. Jesus makes you whole. Then he says, I want to ask you people something. Who did she touch? He says, she never touched me. I'm 30 feet from her. But she touched that high priest. Now, the woman that was touched, she touched God, and God touched her. And that's what all this works, friends. When you touch him, he touches you. Something comes forth to minister to your need. He says, are we strangers to other? Wave your hand, lady. That's right. I don't know you. These things were true. What was said, is that right? All right. You can have your request because you touched Jesus Christ. Our friends, what a privilege we have tonight. And that's how Paul says, we, therefore, can come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain help, grace to help in time of need. Whatever your need, touch him. Just touch him. Just reach out to him. You know, we sing the song, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. And friends, in your experience, like I say, go back and look. There's so many times you touched him already. When he sends somebody your way to bring salvation to you, the word of salvation, it's because you touched him. You touched him. And when you touch him, he's going to touch you. He's going to respond. When you were in the denominations not understanding what was going on, there was something in you. You sought him. There was a cry from your soul. You touched him. And he sent the message of the hour to you. And every single time, in every single situation between where you are now and the end of life's journey, every time you get in a position of need, you can touch him. And heaven is waiting for you to look, and the dunamis will come forth. And he'll minister to your need. He'll minister to your experience. He knows how to do it. And God, having entrusted our souls to the shepherd of our souls, friends, he's going to see them safely through. This is a great plan. Let's stand. Let's sing that song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Never underestimate. When the prophet so many times in those prayer lines, he said, you didn't know you had that amount of faith, did you? Never underestimate the faith that you've got. You've moved him so many times already, friends. You've moved him. He's moved heaven and earth. He's moved people. He's moved different things for you. Just reach out and touch the Lord.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, my Lord Jesus, do not pass. Save me, my heart.
was thinking of that time some years back when we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting before we had a convention. I think Brother Chukwosi came. And I remember Sister Julie that time had an issue of blood. Brother Wilmer remembers it well. And we just took that scripture on the issue of blood and how the woman touched her with the issue of blood. And the sister was healed. And she gave a testimony straight after, because he's the same, friends. And if you can find your situation in the Word. And look at these people in the Bible, weren't perfect people. There were people that had the good times and the bad. But it's this kind of an approach. And if you just approach him the right way. Let's sing that song, Reach Out and Touch the Lord as He Goes By. And let's come to a time of prayer before we dismiss.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
He goes by.
You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
Great High Priest Jesus, how we do approach unto thee, Lord, even upon this evening, to bring ourselves before thee, Lord.
Lord, we thank thee for your mercy, Lord, we thank thee for thy kindness, Lord, Savior. Lord, we thank thee for your mercy, Lord, Lord, we thank thee for your mercy, Lord, we thank thee for your mercy.
Father, we thank thee for your goodness. We thank thee, Lord, for thy kindness.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we feel refreshed this today.
Oh, Lord.
Father, just a moment in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, Lord, how, Father, we can imagine this night. Father, you are so pleased. You are so happy.
Lord.
Father, if we could say with respect, Father, Lord, just us coming in your presence, Father, tonight, Lord. Father, we believe, Lord, Father, these things can make you even blush, if we could say that, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Father, give us grace this night. Give
yes,
us
Lord.
Mercy, Father.
Yes.
Lord, that we, Lord Savior, would be careful, Father, to keep, Lord Savior, Father, the Spirit, Lord,
God.
Father, Lord, and to walk placidly, Lord Savior,
yes,
under, Lord, Father, this dark age that we dwell amidst, Lord. For Father, though, Lord Savior, the age would be dark, Lord.
Yes,
but Lord, we are, Lord Savior, the shining light, Lord, even in this day. And Lord, the reason, Lord Savior, you've held back, Lord Savior, Father. Oh, Father, destruction of this earth, Lord. Because, Lord Savior, we believe, Lord, there are still more to come in, Lord Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Lord,
yes,
Father, you didn't call us to Ireland, to Dublin, Lord Savior, by chance. Yes. Lord, Father, you called us here, Lord. For, Lord, there are still some, Lord, tucked away, Lord Savior, in various places, Lord Savior, God. And we believe, Lord Savior, Lord, if we, Lord Savior, could be in our positions, Lord, be in our places, oh God.
Amen.
Father, Lord Jehovah, we believe, Lord Savior, God, even as Lord Savior, the pastor, Lord, Lord, has so clearly, Lord, and so wonderfully, Lord, emphasized, Lord, that, Lord, you are so great, Lord.
Yes.
You can be touched from all angles,
Amen.
By, Lord, a multitude of people, Lord,
yes,
Savior.
Lord,
Lord
yes,
and you
Lord.
Can supply, oh God, grace, Lord, Father, at the same time to a multitude of people, Lord,
yes,
Savior, God. Help us, Father, that we find our places, Lord, that we find our positions, Lord,
yes,
even
God.
In this body, Lord.
Father,
even as, Lord, Savior, thine word is stressed, Lord. Father, we work as a body. We
Amen.
Walk as a body. Lord,
yes,
we overcome
Lord.
As a body, Lord, Savior, God. And we are grateful this night to meet, Lord, even as a body in this very place, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, knowing indeed, Lord, Savior, for this night, you ordained, Lord, for the pastor to minister the very message that he
yes,
said, Lord, this night.
Oh, Lord.
You knew the very
yes,
people
Lord.
That would be here. You
yes,
knew the
Lord.
Very needs that we would have.
Amen.
And we are grateful, Father. Lord, we have found ourselves worthy, Lord, Father, to be counted, Lord, Savior, as part of this flock for this night,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
Savior, God.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
We believe in, Lord, Savior, on the next service, Lord, you'd supply, Father, the next, Lord, Savior, Father. Oh,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
Amount of manner that we would desire. Father, grant us grace as we part. Bless our day tomorrow,
yes, Lord.
Lord. Bless it, Lord, Savior, in the way that, Lord, we just draw closer to Thee, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Lord, we're not searching for the blessings of this life, Lord, but all we're searching for, Lord, is to be light in this life, Lord, Savior,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Direct us and guide us. Bless the word ministered, Lord. Let it bring forth, Lord, that, Lord, Savior, Lord, Father, it purposed, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
And we come back, Lord, Savior, Father, Sunday, Lord, Savior, Father, oh God, in search, Lord, Father, of that light, Lord, and we'd all place, Lord, Father, our lights together, Lord, and we'd pull down,
yes, Lord.
Lord, Father, oh God, that great dunamis, Lord, Savior,
yes,
that
Lord.
You would create something, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
Out of nothing, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
And we are grateful, Father, again, for this place. And
yes.
we believe in, Lord, Savior, you have a better place for us, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, whilst we hear, Lord, Savior, may we, Lord, use it wisely, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Father, I'm grateful, Father, for my prayer was just, Lord, Savior, Lord, a few more services in this place, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Father, and I've come, Lord, and I've had two, Lord, Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, be grateful, Father.
Yes.
Lead us, guide us, direct us evermore, supply our needs that we have. Those that have traveled, you bless, keep them, Lord,
yes,
Savior.
Lord.
Bring them safely, Brother Vlad, where it be this night.
Yes.
God, take for him, Lord,
Please,
Savior,
Lord.
We pray. Guide him, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
Bless all our needs and our desires. God, traveling ministers to the pastor as he travels back.
Yes, Lord.
You watch over him, Lord, Savior. Bring
Please,
him back
Lord.
Safely, Brother Max, as he travels a distance
Amen.
As well.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Grant us grace, Lord, Savior, God. And be the light, Lord, even amidst our lives.
Amen.
And we keep our hearts as one.
Amen.
We ask of these things because you said to us, and we're glad. In Jesus' name, God.
Amen. 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 Amen, saints. Just to say, let's really pray for Brother Peregrine's wife. You know, I was really sad in a way when Brother Peregrine passed away, but he was a real mighty man.
Amen.
He was such a witness. I mean, and he really finished his course well.
Hallelujah.
You know, I mean, so I don't know how many nations. I think just within a few years of the prophet dying, he went to 80-something or whatever, 90-something nations to go and be a witness of the message. You know, and when you just listen to his testimony again, it's a powerful thing. You know, he was a man that God really, really used, and he's gone to his reward. But the sad thing is he leaves people behind. You know, just as we wait for that great day. So I mean, you can remember what it's like when your relatives passed away, somebody close to you. Let's just remember them, that the Lord might minister virtue and grace to that situation as well. God bless you as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. Waiting for you because of what you decide.